Second Book of Chronicles, first chapter. Go to 1 Kings, 10th chapter, and mark that. There's great things in my presence, saith the Lord. You only need to enter in. Thank you, Jesus. For the key is in my spirit, and my power. La frebus kidinsente. Ponte escrava, sir. And the preparation time for this hour is the ministry of the Holy Spirit at all times. So find the path and yield. Beato eshimato. Bendo oskidancho. And you'll be blessed indeed. Hallelujah. A few months ago, maybe a month and a half, he pulled me in the room and said, I'm going to teach you some things about riches. I think it was on a Wednesday night that I began to express it. And then as he continued to pull me in this room, I didn't know what to call it, but some of the terms he started passing through my spirit was, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, for many are called, few are chosen. And I understood then that many, many, many be called to this kind of ministry, to this kind of operation in God, the kind he's talking about. But very, very, very few are chosen. And we found out when he said the first will be last, it's those that make them the first in this kingdom. First, that they're last in the next one. But those that make themselves last here, which is servant of all, and they become first in the next, but many be called, few are chosen. So he pulled me in this room and started giving me glimpses into several kinds of ministries. But the one he wanted to teach me on was riches. He said, I want you to understand some things about riches. So when he pulled me in, I didn't know what to call it except gospel, entrepreneurship. Maybe the separation in Romans 12 to the simplicity of giving, which I know now is when the Holy Spirit's able to get the trumpet out of your hand. You know, when you give. The simplicity of giving. See? Now, I understand that God, by His grace, is able to finish up with my ministry when He does it. That I'm going to see what I've seen in my spirit the whole time of this progression. Even though I have the privilege of tearing hell up with my gift, forcing Satan to turn loose of people and deliverances and wheelchairs and all that, I know it's inbred into me by my new birth. I know. I'm not wondering. I know. But in this ministry of entrepreneurship, as the devil would be intensely mad at me for being able to bring revival anywhere on that scale, he's just as intensely mad at the person who's entered into the ministry of gospel entrepreneurship that can actually pay for the meeting. Because in eternity, you and I will stand shoulder to shoulder, equal. Equal. See, equal in the reward. It's many-membered body, and all members have the same office. Because all the members are part of one body, every member is a measure, but it is part of a whole. And the closer these measures function together as one, they make one whole. And that causes the most effectiveness. We will stand shoulder to shoulder. We will. In the reward. Which will be a day. It will be a day to be reckoned with. It's an incredible day. First place He brought me to is, of course, the first will be last and the last will be first. Many are called, few are chosen. So when I backed up far enough to get the whole context according to the laws of meditation of what He was trying to get over me about riches, when the rich young ruler came to Him reiterating, "You must understand this for the next step." He threw Himself down and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know the commandments." He named them. He says, "I kept these from my youth up." He said, "Are your old covenant, you're saved. You have it. How would you like to be perfect? How'd you like to be perfect?" He said, "Go on and sell what you have. Give to the poor. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven that wax not old, and then you come and pick your cross up, and you come and follow me." He went away exceedingly sorrowful, exceedingly, because he couldn't do this. See, he couldn't do it. The apostles were so amazed at what just happened that they cried, "My God, who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With God all things are possible." And Peter spoke up, "Well, we left all. We left it all to follow you." What do we receive? And this is when he told him, anyone, you know, that's forsaken houses and lands and mothers and brothers and sisters for my sake and the gospel's will receive in this lifetime 100-fold of the same, innumerable multitudes of families, innumerable mothers and brothers and sisters and children will be inherited into the kingdom because of your ministry. Innumerable, hundreds and hundreds of folds. He says, "Peter, you 12 in the regeneration, the millennial, when I sit up on the throne of my glory, you'll sit on the 12 tribes, or the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But for everyone else that's forsaken all, see, they'll inherit this. Hundreds of folds, hundreds of folds. They will so incredibly increase the kingdom of houses and lands because they forsook all." See, to follow Jesus. Then at the end of that statement, he makes an incredible, incredible. "But many that are first will be last, the last will be first," saying, those that's made themselves first in this kingdom, like the rich young ruler, he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. He wanted the wealth to serve himself. He just couldn't do it. "And those that make themselves first in this kingdom, they'll be last in the next," stating the millennial. "But those that's made themselves last in this kingdom," which is servants, literal slaves, "they'll be first in the next." And what makes them first in the next? Because they literally forsook all to increase the kingdom by hundreds of thousands of fold of families and mothers and fathers and children and houses and lands. And that procured them an incredible place in the kingdom to come. But the rich young ruler, they had great wealth, he could not. To help you understand, a slave, being young and incredibly wealthy, he probably inherited from his family. Jesus didn't just ask for his wealth that he would have earned. He asked for all the wealth that he had. That meant every hour, every business decision, every wisdom leading up to that point. He suddenly used it to increase the family of God with. So every hour he committed of his whole life to serving the gospel. He literally became a slave. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. The following instruction was, pick your cross up and follow me. And you might as well know. The cross is where the old man's put to death. Now follow me. Walking in the carnal man where most of us walk, we can't see past this life. We can't even see into it. A rich young ruler didn't know if he'd have went ahead and picked his cross up and started following Jesus, that mortification would have took place. And when it began to take place, then it wouldn't be a matter of what he gave up. They would have to have a team of horses just to try to hold a person like this back from running towards anything that he can do to inherit more of the kingdom. More of it. See, not giving it up. More of it. See, more of it. Well, then the startling revelation hit me that prosperity, God's prosperity, really doesn't begin for you, but at the level. They say, well, those verses were designed to make us rich.
Look, yeah, then when you get a 100-fold return.
The rich young ruler wasn't looking for wealth. He already had it. But what he didn't have was God's prosperity. God's prosperity starts at the level when you can lose it. That's when you can. When you come to the place where you're willing to give it for the increase of the kingdom of God, that's the level of prosperity, God's kind, where it begins. And buddy, his prosperity, no one at no time, and I don't care, depression, oppression, recession, I don't care what comes. When you have God's prosperity, buddy, it'll hold up under any circumstance, and it'll be answered when you pray. I don't mind telling you. I begin to seek Him, you know, for the wisdom to learn to walk that way. Just last night He told me, my mind was very narrow and lived in a box. I said, well, you're very subtle. You're very subtle, Lord. I began to seek Him on what would qualify this, and He began to come back with wisdom. He began to talk to me about wisdom. And so when I knew that Solomon was wise, but then I began to notice whenever prosperity was mentioned, our needs mentioned, that he seemed to link Solomon there somehow with his glory and used his wealth to tell you that you really don't need to be concerned at what you eat, wear, or drink. And he used him so many times. The Queen of Sheba come to hear the wisdom of Solomon. See? And I say unto you, the greater than Solomon is here. So many times I thought, I guess I'm going to have another look at this. If the keys to entrepreneurship, gospel entrepreneurship, if the keys to it is in wisdom, then I have got to know what causes it to increase. Let's begin here. When we begin, we'll begin with the first verse here. I don't know how long I'm going to make it. King David and his son, King Solomon, they both did two things that caused David to go from a shepherd boy herding sheep to the one of the greatest kings Israel had ever saw, and Solomon to go in only two generations from shepherding in two generations from the greatest kings that Israel's ever saw, and his son to the wisest, wealthiest, powerfulest king that had ever been in this earth. In two generations. Two things. And these are the two things. One, they wanted God's wisdom to judge the people of God righteously. That was first. And second, they wanted to build a house for God to dwell in. Now, running ahead just for a moment, I don't mind telling you the wisdom that comes down from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without hypocrisy, yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness and those who exercise thereby. I don't mind telling you that wisdom comes from His Word. But I also don't mind telling you the house that you and I are building, the house you and I are building for God to dwell in, is the body of Christ. And it's no wonder, He says, when you can come to the place, when you can forsake all to increase the family of God, then you have both sought my wisdom, and I will give you my wealth. Let's begin with the first verse. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all of Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, and to judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was a tabernacle of the congregation of God which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God David brought up, and here's a good one, Kirjathaim, to the place where David had prepared it, for he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered, now notice this, 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. 1,000 burnt offerings. I can't even hardly imagine that. But I can say this. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I can't hardly stand it. 1,000 burnt offerings upon it in the night. God appeared unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. That reminds me of Brother Dinnerkran, when Jesus first caught him up into heaven in the presence of God. That first thing God said to him, "What do you want? What do you want?" He says every time he goes into his presence, he says, "What do you want?" And one time he was so in intercession for all the needs in India that he started to say the gifts, the workings of miracles and all that. And the Holy Ghost, who was with him, interceded very quickly for him and says, No, don't ask, you know, for the gifts. Tell him you want Jesus. Tell him you want Jesus. Well, he says, "What do you want? What shall I give thee?" And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom." Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge thy people that are so great? And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor for the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have ever had before thee, neither shall there be any after thee." Then Solomon came from the journey to the high place and went to Gibeon to Jerusalem before the tabernacle of the congregation and reigned over Israel. Now I want you to notice the second chapter in the first verse. Now, God made him wealthy. But notice what he wanted to do with this wealth. And Solomon determined. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord, a house for his kingdom. And then he begins into the wealth and the building and the specifications that God had communed in his heart for the house he's going to build him. And it amazes me that this house is only a type. When Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here," the house we're building for him is a greater house. Tell me, if you ask for the same things, what makes you think that he wouldn't pour the same kind of things out upon you? Now think. Because when I begin to get into the wealth of Solomon, that's when God said, "Son, your mind, your mind, it's in a narrow box. So go ahead now. Go on over to 1 Kings. And of course, I'm laying a foundation. 10th chapter. Now here's something interesting I want you to keep in your heart. It means this is a shadow and a type. When he began to build his tabernacle, he contracted with the artists and the children of strangers. And they actually came and did the work on the house. Which tells you that the house that we're building, we're also building with the children of all nations. Amen. Now something else may interest you. After 20 years, when he completed the tabernacle, And Solomon and the whole congregation prayed over its dedication. They sacrificed 22,000 oxes and 20,000 sheep. 42,000 sacrifices they burnt on the altars that day. And the glory of the Lord fell, and the fire fell into the temple. And not even the priest could go into the temple by reason of the glory that was there. When Solomon prayed the dedication for this temple, sometime I'd like to take that prayer apart. But when I read it and understood the first layer of it by the power of the Holy Spirit, I fainted inside and got weak. And one of the things he said that so moved me was this verse. Hang in with me, folks. I'm fading. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship with me for a minute. See, I determined as I enter into this place with Him that I would follow Him as close as I could in the services. And unfortunately, the first part of that seems that when He begins to pull me off, that I still don't hear the Holy Spirit until He's close enough to me that He has to grab me off of it. If I could hear Him when He was way back here instead of here, then I could make ready for the change before He got here. But I can say this. Yes, sir. In 1 year of His ministry, 25 tons of gold came in, which is roughly $320 million at today's prices. And that was just the gold. He asked wisdom, and God gave it to him. And with it, He gave him riches to build his house. $320 million, just the gold. Not counting the spices, the ivory, the trade. In fact, silver was so plentiful, they esteemed it as rocks and piled it. The gold was so plenteous that they didn't even inventory the cups in the king's house. All the world came to him to seek his wisdom out. He said there was none like him. If it's God's house I'm building, and I seek His wisdom, then it's through His wisdom that the wealth comes. And it really looked like there was a stipulation here that the wealth comes to build His house. Now that's their covenant. This is mine. I finally got to take the first step into why Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. I knew He was greater. You knew He was greater. He's the Son of God. See, I didn't understand the fullness of why He made a statement like that. And when God opened it up, the first step, my God, verses I thought I'd known for 500 years. 20 years. Wow. Now I'm hoping He took me off of that to put you onto this. So go on over. Luke. Eleventh chapter and 29th verse. Hallelujah. I want to build my temple. Hallelujah. I want to build his. Furashakarasheha. Ventuskida frema. Sila frema. Set a paramento besaka. Shukra masa haletia. Frema seha. Funemesientia. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Follow me close. And when the people were gathered thick together, they began to say, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, this generation, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. She came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Then in the 33rd verse, it looks like he suddenly changed the subject, but I can assure you, my friend, he did not. Suddenly he says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but under a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. He said, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, as when a bright and shining candle does give its light. But Jesus makes this incredible statement. The queen of the south came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He says, yet I say unto you, a greater than Solomon is here. He says, no man, when he had lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in might see the light, for the light of the body is the eye. See, and this is the first level where the Holy Spirit was able to get my understanding to. So I understood that Jonah preached to the Ninevites and they heard the message. And when they heard it, they received it and repented and were saved. So I understand that. And I understand then a greater than Jonah's here. So the only sign to the evil generation will be, as Jonah preached to them, I'm preaching to you. And I understand that the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's wisdom from a far country and journeyed to not only hear, but you can rest assured she went back to live all the rest of her days in that wisdom. You can rest assured salvation came to her country, as did it to all the countries of the earth that came up to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You evil generation, you want a sign. Here's your sign. She came to hear his wisdom, and I'm right here with you. And you won't hear me. He says, a greater than Solomon is here. And this is what I understood it to me in the first pass. For no man, when he's lighted a candle, puts it under a bushel, but on a tabletop. See, why is a man given the word? Is it not to understand? Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? I'm here and greater than Solomon, and I'm giving you the word. Is the word given to you not to understand, or is it like a candle, you put it on top of a table and ignite it? And when you ignite it, it shines a light in the whole room. And then you can walk by it. And he said, a greater than Solomon is here. That meant in the Word of God is greater wisdom for building God's house than Solomon ever dreamed of having. But I've got to have his wisdom to go in and get it out. But I can tell you one thing. Hello, praying in tongues. Suddenly he says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. that I be evil. Light of the body is the eye. What do I use these two organs for? They let light in my body. Without these two organs, I'd be walking in darkness. These two organs let light into my body. Therefore, I can walk according to that light. So I can cross the room. But he says, if your eye be evil, which is impaired, all the way to blind, then it lets no light in your body, so you have nothing to walk by. And of course, I pulled this over into the spiritual realm we always know it to exist in. And I'm saying, well, look here. The Word is the lamp. And when it's lit, it ignites my spirit and with illumination and revelation knowledge. No longer have to walk not with God. But the Word gives me access to His wisdom. And I can walk with God because the Word will illuminate me. And so that was the first pass I made. And it was a good pass. And it's true, every bit of it. But on this next pass, while I was laying back there in my place of longness. And to me, sometimes it's amazing how revelation knowledge jumps on a guy. Because I'll be there and not know a thing about it. And the next moment, I know everything about it and don't know how I knew. Then I have to go start digging. Boy, he said something to me. He said, you want to know what made me greater than Solomon? I'm thinking, Son of God, yes, yes. The message you preach, yes, 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 yes. These whole things, yes. But this is what he's talking about that made him greater. And he gave us something Solomon couldn't. He gave us something King David couldn't. This is what made him greater than anyone that was ever lived, because of the access he gave us to God. When he said, the light of the body is the eye, yes. Yes, this organ, it lets light into my body. There wouldn't be any light in my body if this organ wasn't functioning. Yet he went on to say, the light, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light, but if evil, it'll be full of darkness. And I'm thinking, if I get a dark eye, I'm void of revelation knowledge and I can't see where I'm going. If I got eyes that let light in, then I can walk around anything and see exactly where I'm going. And I kept going over it and over it and just letting it set in my spirit. And this is when he said, the candle, you know, the candle is your, it's your human spirit. The candle is your human spirit. This is what made him greater than Solomon. Before he lit your spirit, no light could come in. But when he came and gave you the rebirth and you was born again, it lit your spirit and gave you access to revelation knowledge, relationship with Abba and God the Father that no generations before you could ever, ever approach. So I'm saying, now you mean is a candle brought to put under a bushel? No. Light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light, which means single is a truthful, loving heart with a new nature. An evil, which I always took a dark eye, darkness inside, evil is an unforgiving, hateful heart with no life in it. So he's saying, a greater than Solomon is here. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? No, I have come to light your candle. And when I light your candle on the inside, your spirit is going to start to see and be able to commune with God one-on-one through that new nature, because you will have revelation knowledge and understanding that no generations before you has ever had.
of John, no greater prophet. He says that least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? Because your candle's been lit. Because you have a new nature. Because you have access to revelation, knowledge that exceeds any wisdom that Solomon had, because he was unable to communicate or understand God through wisdom and a new nature. That's why at the end of his reign, God didn't rip it out of his hands, because the promise he made to his father David. But of the 700 wives, many of them were princesses of kings. And he had 300 concubines. But God let him alone because of the promise of his father. He says, it wasn't for your father I'd taken you off the throne. But he didn't judge him until he began to worship the goddesses that his wives brought into his house. And then he was judged. You say, how can a man do that? Oh, he can do it all right. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, I'd not known covetous, said the law, said I should not covet. He says, then the law, he says, took that measure, that commandment, and slew me by it, because I had a nature that is sin. It isn't a question of quitting sinning. I am sin. But I wouldn't have known I was sin until God come along with the law and said, stop sinning. Then when I tried to stop sinning, I couldn't. And that's when I found out I was sin. He said, Jesus delivered us from that. But he said, a greater one than Solomon is here. Because he said, I didn't come but to light your candle and to open your eyes, that your spirit would become your eyes and you have access to revelation knowledge. So take heed that your eye is single. He says, because your eye is not single, great is your darkness, that you run after any other god. But if we said we follow him, we have the chance for our whole body to be full of light. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to build his house. I want to build his house. Now, let me close with this. John, first chapter, first verse. Oh, Lord, give me some more verses on this. It's pretty heavy. Begin with the first verse. Here is a single eye, truthful, holy, blameless, clean of heart. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life, and the life was the light. Is a candle brought? Is a candle lit to be hid under a bushel? In Him was life, and the life was the light. And that light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He sent a witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John is not that light, but he sent to bear witness of the light. He says, and that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I always thought, you know, for several years, not the last few, he was talking about that was God, you know, giving the light to that little bitty spirit when a person was born that comes into the world. See, that was the true light which lighteth every man cometh into the world. He says, well, he's in the world, and it was made by him, yet it knew him not. And he said he came unto his own. They didn't receive him. But as many as did receive him gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now the 9th verse and 13 put together says it this way. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He cometh into the world to light every man that cometh into the world, who's born not of the will of man, of flesh or blood, but of God. And then by the 3rd chapter, he told you how he did it. Nicodemus said what? He said, you must be born again. He says, what's born of flesh is flesh, but what's born of spirit is spirit. He said, you must be born again. What made Jesus' ministry greater? Outside of all those other factors, Son of God. He was the one that come in to light our candle. He was the one that come in to ignite our spirit, to open our eyes, so that we could begin to walk in the revelation knowledge of a new nature. He says, a greater than Solomon is here. The wisdom that is made available to us exceeds anything that Solomon ever walked in, simply because he wanted to build God his house, which was a type that God has called you to build his house. His house. The two things that brought David and Solomon to the greatest kings, wisest, most wealthiest that ever lived. The two things. Is they asked for wisdom. And because of it, he gave them riches and wealth. And then they used it to build God a house. Right now I know I have access. He's lit my candle. Now I know I have access. I have the Holy Spirit. He's given me the supernatural language of tongues that feeds the flame. Increases the brightness. Father, in the border of this old anointing and the new one coming, I'm a little inexperienced in crossing over. But I'd rather follow you like that than continue to do my own services. So I ask you to put your hand on them. Thank you for your miracle working power that's flowing now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the holiest of holies, the priest went in once a year. Made atonement. Brazen altar the priest sacrificed on. In the outer court, people ministered to God. He offered a thousand rams on the altar, and then God came. That's just ministry in the soul realm. God, I don't know how many things He wants to deal with You on the cross. There's a lot of areas of our lives that we just don't give to Him. And I don't know if it was the 550th or the 780th or the 900th ram He burnt. Finally ministering to His soul, He gained entry into the holiest of holies, and God came. I only know one that can minister to me like that. And I've offered my body a living sacrifice. When they moved the Ark of the Covenant into the finished tabernacle, they sacrificed 44,000. He came. My God, He came. His glory so filled the temple they couldn't minister in it. The priests couldn't go in. Couldn't stand up. And all the peoples, the whole nations of Israel and everybody involved, they sacrificed and got down on their face and worshiped God. There is a holy place we're approaching unto. That's where revival is. And nothing the devil has to offer can go in there either. They get set free at the door. My friend, I don't want to live in the outer court. I'm going to hang around the brazen altar and offer ram after ram till I gain access. This is Jesus' blood. I'm the sacrifice. He says, offer your body a living sacrifice. His blood gained me entry. But it's this flesh that I'm offering over, and not my will, but Thine will be done. I want to see the glory of the holiest of holies. Amen.